Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. One of the big things you have to do in business is to have a plan for how you're going to scale up. Because if you have that plan and you're able to scale up, you're going to reach more people with your business. Your revenue is going to grow and the amount of impact you can generate is going to get a big boost. So how do we scale up our businesses? That is going to be the focus of today's episode. And who better to share with us how we can scale up than today's guest, who is a chief rule breaker behind Extraordinary Advisors. Since 1997, today's guest's companies have helped over 5,000 people secure employment, improving their lives and the lives of their families. He is the founder and president of Diversified Industrial Staffing, which was named by Inc. magazine to the Inc. 5000 a record-setting 6 times as one of the fastest-growing companies in America. Today's guest for episode 218 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Todd Palmer. Todd, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
Todd, I'm really happy to have you on the show. And scaling your business, that's such an important topic because that's what allows you to get more revenue, allows you to spread your impact. So we're going to talk about that throughout our time together. But before we do, I'd like to get some background. So can you share with us why you started Extraordinary Advisors and some of the backstory behind that?
Absolutely. So I started Extraordinary Advisors because I, at one point, was not doing well and I was not scaling up as a company. Back in 2006, our business was really struggling at Diversified Industrial. We were just on the cusp of the financial downturn that happened in 2007, 2008, 2009. And our business was $600,000 in debt. We were 60 days away from running out of cash. And we needed to make some different decisions. I needed to change my mindset as the CEO in order for the company to turn around and grow. And that's really where I got involved with people like Vern Harnish and the Rockefeller Habits, now in the Scaling Up program, as well as EOS and some other programs, so that I was able to reach out, locate a coach, and to grow and scale my business. From that point on, we were very, very fortunate, as well as the timing was right, and we made the Inc. 5000 6 times. And now I'm at the stage of my career where I think that there is a real need within the marketplace to reach out to first stage and second stage entrepreneurs and help them scale up and grow their businesses just like I did. And I wanted to be able to give back and create a legacy of improving lives within that entrepreneurial community.
Todd, I really like the idea of helping other entrepreneurs. And we should always be thinking about how we can help others through our work and have a bigger impact. And that's part of thinking more long-term, which is really important, but we also have to have short-term thinking as well. We also have to achieve the short-term goals on the way towards the long-term vision. So how can businesses plan for long-term scaling while achieving the short-term goals that are necessary for that overall success in the long-term?
Mark, you're absolutely right. You've got to run both paths simultaneously. You have to run the 30, 60, 90-day plans, as well as the 1, 3, and 5-year plans. Because over the course of time, those short-term goals, those short-term steps become those long-term successes. From my perspective and how I typically work with my clients is, first and foremost, we take a look at the mindset of the entrepreneur and the mindset of the leadership team. We see what's working. We see what's not working. Then we pivot into creating a strategy. What is the strategy of what you want to achieve, whether it's a strategy for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 3 years out, we lay out a strategy and work our way backwards. Then we create an execution plan. We execute, we try things, we see what's going to work and what's not going to work. And that's really where it becomes challenging with a lot of entrepreneurs, because they're so afraid to fail. And they treat failure as a bump in the road. They treat failure as a win or loss. And they see when the company fails, the entrepreneur fails. The approach that I've seen work really, really well is the people who see failure as nothing more than a pathway along their route to success. If you think about the tech space, they're classic for it. They fail forward constantly. They try something new and it doesn't work. They try something new and it doesn't work. They try something new, then it does work. And then it's a lot of repeat reinforce of that process. So again, it's mindset, it's strategy, it's execution, it's taking action on that execution, creating that comfort to fail forward and iterate through the process to get companies and leaders where they want to go.
And there is a theme of failing your way to success, which Todd highlighted brilliantly. And you do see it in a lot of the tech companies, the founders, you see it in anyone who's an entrepreneur or anyone who's creating a startup. You do see those failures as critical on the road to success because of all the lessons you learn and all the, when you do learn lessons, you can grow your business more, build relationships, do all the things right, but you do learn that from your failures. But in some points, like, yes, failure is something that you learn from. It leads to success. But there are some moments where like we feel stuck, we're failing forward, but we don't really feel like we're moving forward. So people do feel stuck at certain points, especially when it comes to the growth of their businesses. So how can we get unstuck, or as you phrase, break past bottlenecks around growth and reach new levels of success?
Well, I think from what I've experienced, and the biggest bottleneck I often see, and it's a challenge as a coach and a consultant to call this out, is the bottleneck is at the top of the bottle. And often it comes from imposter syndrome, where the entrepreneur or the leadership team thinks they have to have all the answers. And it's working with them to understand that there's such a greater momentum and a greater likelihood of success by getting all the brains in the room on the same page, getting all the brains in the same room going in the correct direction. And that is often very painful for an entrepreneur to realize that they don't have to be the oracle, and it's okay that they're not the oracle all the time. They can set a vision, but it's a team effort in any success story I've ever seen.
And you are right when it comes to success stories and teams. I mean, with this podcast, for instance, it's something I do bring up very frequently, but intentionally. Like, there are people helping to bring this podcast out behind the scenes where if they weren't here, breakthrough success is probably just an idea. So having a team behind you, even if it's just like one person part-time, really makes a big difference for you and your business, because the time it saves, the extra skill sets that other people can provide, and just the overall scaling as well.
Well, absolutely. And if you take a look at nowadays with the way the global economy is structured, you can get that part-time person or that key person, you know, virtually anywhere in the world. With the freelancer nation we've got and the way millennials work and the mobile platforms of what companies are able to plug into, you don't necessarily need that part-time person or even that full-time person sitting in the cubicle next to you.
And yes, like the world, like with the web, it is so much easier to find the right people for our teams because we just have a larger talent pool to choose from. And then getting like a team together, again, even if it's just a team of like one part-time person or two or whatever you can do, that helps a lot of struggling brands to regain their spark. So I'm wondering if you could share with us any other suggestions you have for reigniting the spark within a struggling brand.
Well, I think when you take a look at a struggling brand, underneath a struggling brand would be a struggling person. Everything that happens within an organization ties to the people who work there. I know with our company, going back to the 2006 example, we were really struggling. We had an infected culture. We had a toxic work environment. We had people who I hired for their resume that were not producing. So we made a huge shift on September 9th of 2006. We fired our entire company and started over. And we decided to make a fundamental shift in hiring for DNA, not for resume. And that propelled the company forward. And I use that a lot with my clients, is to really take a look at what is a proper DNA for your organization. Is that DNA plugging into the brand you want to create? Is it plugging into the brand you want to go? Because you can take someone who's got a great DNA and teach them often the job. But you can take someone with a lot of years of experience, some of it good, maybe some of it not so good, and they can come in and quickly infect your culture.
And you mentioned like a resume is something more concrete. It's something that people kind of get the idea that you're able to look a little deeper into it. Like the DNA of a company, like that is very important. But for some people, it may feel like that may feel a little more abstract compared to the resume. So can you talk a little bit more about how you're able to tell like who would be good for the DNA of the company instead of the resume, and how we can easily cross over that bridge?
Absolutely. When I work with a company and I'm looking at the leadership team and I'm looking at the people they have on their team and I'm looking at where the visionary goal wants to go, it's important to recognize currently who you have on your team, who the CEO is, who are the other C-level executives, even if it's just a small company of, you know, five people, who are the leaders? And we use a program called AcuMax. And AcuMax is a measurement tool that tells us the strengths and limitations of the employee, the strengths and limitations of the leadership. And it identifies what they do well and identifies maybe what they're limited on so that we can put people on the right path within their strengths. I was just talking, we had a client the other day who had a real aha moment. Husband and wife team are running the organization and they recognized that they were sitting in the wrong seats. The husband was the founder and the visionary, or so he thought, and his wife was really more the operations person. And the AcuMax program identified that she really was more open to growing the organization, and she was more willing to engage in creative conflict with the staff than he was. So they essentially switched roles. She's the driver president. He's now the COO. And within a very short period of time, they've grown from 3 locations to 12 locations just because they're now playing to their strengths. They're identifying who they are. And now they have a data-driven metric within the AcuMax process to figure out, are we doing the right things? Do we have the right people in the right seats? And have we fleshed out the team appropriately so that we've got cross-representation across all personality types?
And thank you for sharing with us that breakdown, because it is important to hire someone not just based on their resume, more importantly for who they are as a person, because you can hire someone with the best resume, but then, as you mentioned, that person could be a toxin into the culture. Not to say that all of the like best written resumes are a lie or anything like that, but it does take a deeper look into the individual who has written the resume to get a better idea of how that person will affect the culture.
Well, and it's interesting as recruiters that you mentioned the resume. Within the recruiting community, we pretty much know that most resumes have lies on them. Data shows between 30 and 70% of resume content is stretched, and sometimes to the point of being, you know, fabricated. There's been famous stories that appeared in the media about, especially in the sports world, where coaches have lied on their resume about their educational background or lied on their resume about their experience or successes. And until the research is done, no one knows about it. So while a resume can be a good framework for an employee, nothing beats doing a deep dive interview as well as using diagnostic tools to really flesh out who that person is.
And I know lately we've been talking about like building a team, finding the right people, hiring based on DNA, not just based on the resume. But I would like to go back a little bit more for the business owner looking to grow their business. Like teams are a very important part of that, but there are obviously other important parts like your mindset and other things like that. So with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us, what do you believe holds most people back from being able to scale their businesses?
You know, I think it comes down to a couple of quadrants. Certainly it comes down to the people aspect of it, because people make decisions on cash. They make the decisions on strategy, execution, as well as who's going to be on the team. The other challenge that I often see companies running into, especially, you know, first stage, second stage entrepreneurs, is they don't have enough financial literacy to be able to accurately figure out what the proper pricing should be. Sometimes they're not creating enough margin within their space. Secondarily, they don't understand their cash flow model, and they sometimes don't understand where, you know, how they should be getting paid quickly and appropriately. If a vendor, for example, an entrepreneurial vendor is willing to be the bank for a company, a lot of companies are not going to, you know, pay any quicker than they have to. A lot of companies I see are have, you know, 60, 90 day payment terms, and that can stranglehold a company. And if you don't have enough cash coming in, it makes it very difficult to grow a company. There's a philosophy out there that you can literally run out of cash while growing your business. You can be profitable, but not getting enough cash in the door because your terms aren't as favorable for the entrepreneur and favorable for the business as necessary. Another area that we see often people struggle with is they have great, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs are visionary. They love the bright and shiny things. I was one of those. And the entrepreneur will be so focused on the bright and shiny things that they miss a lot of the details when it comes to the execution because they don't have the proper staff metrics, the proper KPIs in place to measure the daily activity or the weekly activity of their teams. So if you're, again, if you're not bringing in enough cash appropriately, maybe your margins aren't as strong as they need to be, and you're not measuring your team appropriately, those are all areas where a business can go off the rails and not scale up.
And you mentioned how we get distracted by shiny objects. I believe this is true about any entrepreneur. Like when you see a new social network, you want to jump right on. Like that is a good way to like get followers. Like it's easiest when the social network is new, but there are so many different distractions that pop up that seem to just suck at our attention away from something we were previously doing. So we're leapfrogging from one thing to the other without truly moving forward. So I'm wondering how can we not get hit by the shiny object syndrome and just continue to stay focused?
Well, you know, for an entrepreneur that struggles with focus, I think the best thing they can figure out first and foremost is that's who they are. Their strength is vision. Because of that visionary strength, then they need to often have that kind of that counterbalance person within the organization. You know, Walt Disney was the visionary at the Disney Corporation. He had Roy Disney to keep him grounded. So if you think of the entrepreneur as a shiny balloon wanting to, you know, float away into the atmosphere, that Roy Disney type of person will keep them grounded. So really it's again, playing to your strengths, knowing who you are. And if you're a solopreneur, and I know there's a lot of people who are solopreneurs nowadays, it's really focusing on what are the 2 to 3 things you do every day that actually bring you revenue or make you money, whether it's doing sales calls, whether it's doing presentations, whether it's executing on the deliverable, which you promised, versus tying it into new social networks or tying into the latest bright and shiny thing. It's a matter of a little bit of critical discipline and recognizing your brutal reality that you are essentially, you are a solopreneur. You are the person building the business. You are the business. And your time needs to be managed appropriately. And that can be done through tracking programs that are free, such as a Trello is a great project management tool. And Trello will keep you on task. You'll see your to-do list. You'll be able to you get the satisfaction of crossing stuff off that list. Things such as that, using technology as your friend as compared to just a bright and shiny distraction. And honestly, the other thing is too, and I was just talking with a West Coast entrepreneur that I'm working with, and he wants to literally start from the ground up, and he's cut off all connections with, he's not going to the movies, he cut off his cable, he cut off his direct TV, all those different things so he can focus on what he needs to accomplish in the next 6 to 12 months. He's essentially removed entertainment distractions out of his life. So it really could be just as simple as that.
And it's like, I really like how you mentioned that example of, because like examples like that, they just give us ideas of what to do, even if we don't fully do them. Like some people may not cut their cable, some people may not not watch movies for the next 12 months, but it gives us ideas. Maybe we do all that for 1 month. Maybe we cut off our cable for just a few months instead of an entire year, but it is giving us ideas for some of the ways that we can utilize our time better and not just have more time, but also be able to stay focused and not get distracted by shiny objects. And I believe that also is like shiny objects outside of our business is like the latest movie or something like that. So I do appreciate the example.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really a situation of where time is finite. You can only use the hour you have right now. And if you're going to allow yourself to be distracted by, let's say, Facebook, and you're liking all your friend stuff and you're commenting, and all of a sudden an hour has gone away. Well, that hour could have been used for something for your business. That hour could have been used to spend quality time with your family. I am certainly, you know, I'm a big fan of trying to create as much of a work-life balance as possible, especially for people who have young children or have families or have significant others. Because if you've got the support of your family, you can climb mountains. You really can. I've seen the entrepreneur who's got that love and support at home. They're able to conquer the world. I've also seen the entrepreneur who doesn't have that support at home, and they struggle even more than just your average entrepreneur. And, you know, you talk to someone like Mark Cuban. He's famous for saying he reads up to 3 hours a day. And he's recently married in the last 10 years. And I remember reading where he commented, he goes, I had to negotiate a lot of things with my wife, including the ability to read 3 hours a day. And in exchange for that 3 hours a day of reading time that she allows for me, I then give X number of hours or X number of minutes of family time per day or per week, so that he has that balance. He has that structure within his family dynamic, but also he's focusing his energies and his attentions on what he feels is most important. And rather than watching television for Mark, it's reading books and periodicals and articles that'll help make him a more successful entrepreneur.
And this really does go back to the thing that a lot of us know, that the way you use your time determines what kind of person you become. And just like making those choices, like, again, like Mark Cuban, another great example, look at like what he's doing. Like, he's not watching TV, he's reading, he's researching, he's newspapers, books and things like that to sharpen his knowledge, instead of watching a television show that has a short-term entertainment. So I really like that example again. And one of the things that I want to cover in this interview, and you were talking about how Mark Cuban likes to read books. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
For sure. I think that the first book I would tell any entrepreneur that was going to start a company or even was a second stage entrepreneur, I would grab a copy of either The Rockefeller Habits or Scaling Up by Bernd Harnisch, because it's a great book that covers who you want to be and what your strengths are. And authors and thought leaders in today's world is Simon Sinek, and his book Start With Why. Figure out why you do what you do. Think about what is your purpose and passion just on potentially just making money? Why are you working 60 hours for yourself below your market rate versus 40 hours for someone else at a higher pay rate? Those are things to consider. I think one of my favorite books recently that I've read is Freak Factor by Dave Rendell. And Dave talks a lot about playing to your strengths as a human being and the ability not only to play to your strengths as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, but also as a parent, also as children. So he has a universal appeal to his book in regards to the freak factor. It really believes that what's weird makes you wonderful. What's unique about you is really your strength, and how do you play more to that? So those would be the three books that come off the top of my mind.
Todd, thanks for sharing those great book recommendations. Those will all be in the show notes, markaberry.com/E218. You'll also see Content Marketing Secrets, my book, in the show notes. And anyone interested in that book can head over to markaberry.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, Todd, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
You know, I think the biggest question, and this is the question I often ask myself as well, is I just spent time in Mexico with my son. He's 27. And we talked a lot about this concept of what can we as individuals do to make the world a better place? And I just call it, how can we improve lives? And it's something that I think as our society becomes very much technology-based, and a lot of us spend a lot of our times with our face down in our technology, whether it be computer, phone, what have you, we lose that disconnection with our fellow person, our fellow man, our fellow woman, our family member. And oftentimes we can improve lives by simply just showing up and making ourselves available. So I'm just a big believer, what can we do to improve somebody's life? Can we pay it forward in the line at the coffee shop and pay for the beverage for the person behind us? Can we give somebody, look somebody in the eye and give them a smile and say good morning or hello or how are you? When we ask somebody, how are you, actually listen to listen. Don't listen to respond, but listen to truly listen. I think those small things can make a huge difference. And to that point, Mark, I'd like to make an offer to your audience listening today that anybody who goes to my website, extraordinaryadvisors.com, and fills in the submission page and mentions your podcast, I'm happy to give them an hour of my time for free just to talk with them and see what's going on in their business, to see if if I can give them an idea or a suggestion, or they might even want to consider, you know, going a step further and doing a coaching diagnostic. But I'm happy to put my money where my mouth is, so to speak, and give that hour anybody who mentions your podcast on my website.
Todd, thank you so much for that question, for giving Breakthrough Success listeners the opportunity to get an hour with you, and for sharing all of your great insights. And in addition to that hour, there's actually other things that Todd has for us over at extraordinaryadvisors.com/breakthrough. There are going to be a few goodies over there. That link will be in the show notes. And again, you just go to extraordinaryadvisors.com, mention me, you get that hour with Todd. But like Todd, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us today. You shared a lot of great stuff. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Mark, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn